This week on the Droids, do we even need to tell you there's so much to get into? All the news from D23, the Rise of Skywalker special look, Mandalorian, Clone Wars, Andor series, Obi-Wan, Disney+, plus so much more. All on the Droids. Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Chris, I am Mike, and this is a behemoth of a podcast, a behemoth of a weekend. Everything that we wanted and hoped for out of D23 and oh so much more. Guys, I'm still recovering. I don't know how to react to what has become so much news that I don't know if I'm even mentioning all of it in that tease. Did I forget some? I'm sure I did, because there was so much monumental news in the Star Wars universe that we get to talk about in this edition of the pod and future editions of the pod, because there's so much that we can't even cover it all in one episode. But with everything I just mentioned in that tease, Mandalorian, Clone Wars, Cassian Andor, Obi-Wan finally confirmed, Ewan on stage, Disney+, how did you react? How did you get by through the weekend without trying to solve the riddle that is time travel to move things ahead so we can watch all of this now?
That's exactly what I did. I got my best team to work to figure out how to build that machine finally. I was sitting down when I watched the trailer, and then I stood up and then I fell over. I don't know. I didn't know how to react.
I don't want to say I'm on the precipice of creating an Einstein-Rosen bridge, but I feel like I'm on the right track. Of course, progress is all relative. You know what I'm saying?
What is that called, Ryan?
The Einstein-Rosen bridge.
Bless you.
Well, guys, it's a good day to be alive. Unless you're me, in which case I'm just full of anxiety now. You know, is it a vision? Is it not? Are switchblade lightsabers allowed?
Yeah, is that legal?
What are
that
the laws regarding spring-loaded lightsabers?
Is there
if
a
you
fixed
don't spring-load
length?
It out to be the double-sided, do you just have a fork lightsaber?
So many questions.
For food.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get into each of those. I will say, what was your favorite moment of the weekend before we move on to this episode? Will be really about the Rise of Skywalker special look, as that was just released on Monday by Disney on all the Star Wars social accounts, on the Disney. It was basically everywhere. Good Morning America. You could not miss this special look unless you had gone into a rabbit hole of no social media or any connection to the internet. But of the weekend, what was maybe the moment that stood out to you the most?
It's an interesting thing with D23, right? Because it's not like an E3 or something like that where the press conferences are all live streamed directly. You know, so if you're like me, you search and you hope that someone in the audience has a cell phone that they're streaming to YouTube,
right.
Which is some. So you're experiencing it in a little bit of a delay. You're kind of seeing it through like Twitter reveals that from press that are there and things like that. So to me, my favorite moment in terms of crowd reaction and like Twitter reaction was the Obi-Wan moment.
Yeah.
Just because that was literally like Ewan coming out on stage and things like that. But in terms of the weekend, because the Rise of Skywalker is a different thing because that came out this morning. We're recording this on Monday. The reveal of the Mandalorian trailer was absolutely thrilling. I think that was my favorite thing to come out during D23.
Yeah, right. I have to agree. The Obi-Wan reveal, though, was I think the whole aspect of the D23 is kind of behind closed doors. It has that exclusivity to it that kind of old school Comic-Con panels had before. So I think Disney is really smart, and they know they have all these kind of like nerdcore franchises and properties that to put them kind of in this new like walled conference, which is like years before D23 was always pretty cool, but like they knew that they couldn't really release they're big news there because it's not going to get as much play, but I think they're turning it into this machine, especially along with like Disney Plus. So like, I wouldn't be surprised next year we'll see this conference streamed live on Disney Plus.
Chris, I couldn't help but think of you the moment that the Obi-Wan series was announced and finalized and official, and Ewan was on stage. You and I have talked, I mean, long before the podcast.
Years.
I believe one of the early editions of the pod, even before Ryan and Sam joined, we had heard a rumor about an Obi-Wan. Yeah, very dark ages. We had heard a rumor about an Obi-Wan film, and we thought Ewan might be able to come back. And we've been talking about the possibilities on this podcast for so long.
Chris, I was looking back into the holocron of the Droids You're Looking For Star Wars podcast. And so my first appearance on the podcast, I thought it was pretty late in. It was episode 3, which is appropriate.
Is that true?
It's my favorite of the prequel. And Chris brings it up on that episode.
Mm-hmm.
We go over the Last Jedi trailer.
Yeah.
And Chris brings up that there might be an Obi-Wan movie.
So, yeah, Chris, how did you not have a more visceral reaction? Like, you didn't stumble literally to the floor, curl up in a ball, scream.
I was weeping. Weeping. Right. It's one of those things when I still don't believe it, and I need to see the footage of it. So,
welcome to my world, my man.
It's almost as if I knew it had to happen. I was willing it actively for this to happen.
You mean like when you titled the podcast episode before it was official that it was official?
I heard that Ewan saw that and he was kind of on the fence. He's like, they already think I'm doing it. I can't break their hearts.
He did say, it was off mic, but it kind of picked it up, that he said, this is for Chris.
Yeah. He gave a little wink and a lightsaber nod. He's been teasing this forever. So my real guess is that there may have been a movie in the past that might have fallen through. It might have been ups and downs. And then now with this Disney Plus series and just kind of the romanticization of television now, I think he's probably like, get me in on one of those. And then Disney really played their cards right, I think, with this whole rollout of the platform. And that's kind of what made it exciting over the weekend, was like they were excited about not only Star Wars, not only Marvel, but like how they're going to give it to you. And I think like for the first time, Disney finally kind of got their technology right. And like that's a pretty big move to pull out Ewan McGregor on stage and have him reveal he's coming back as Obi-Wan. But like, and not show anybody.
Do you guys think that if Jon Favreau has anything to do with this show, that Chris could make a campaign to get one of them coins?
I think we should do it.
I imagine
one of those Obi-Wan coins.
That Obi-Wan sense. Ewan McGregor. The Ewan McGregor face on that coin is something that would hold a very high place of esteem in Chris's heart and on your mantle if you have one.
Tweet at the droids, coins for Chris. Ewan coins for Chris.
The Obi-Wan announcement was my favorite, though Sam called out in our text thread, as Sam is sadly not on this pod, but he called out in the text thread that, why didn't Ewan say hello there when he came out on stage? Yeah. Like, I can't believe that opportunity was
missed. You can't give all away. You can't give all the goods away right
all
away.
All the coins away right
yeah.
away?
Yeah, yeah. You got to keep those. I mean, there's Comic-Con. There's so much other things. There will be lots of opportunity, but I
was hoping he'd do a completely Star Wars modified version of the monologue from Trainspotting. Where he's like, choose life. Choose a movie, choose a series.
Choose a lightsaber.
All of this makes me think about the fact that maybe they decided that the individual side stories, the Star Wars stories, maybe they wanted to bring them back to being series to then eventually, if they start to work as series, elevate them into standalone films again.
Sure.
And I'm starting it with Obi-Wan, 6 seasons in a movie.
Ooh, yes,
there it is.
Please.
There you go. No, my theory with Obi-Wan, especially since it is, you got to think he's been on the desert. It's going to be a little boring. So my idea is that it's going to be a kind of a tapestry. Like, he's going to weave in and out of other characters. Ooh. And that would open up opportunity for like him to like pre-meet Han Solo, right? And then maybe we see what Solo's up to. But I think this Obi-Wan reveal is going to reveal a lot more than just him.
I think it's interesting that they're like, I don't know if we have enough story for a whole movie. Maybe we'll do 10 hours.
Yeah, right.
But of course they'll have enough story. It's thrilling.
It does sound like it's a miniseries, and we this is not our full Obi-Wan discussion. That will come up in another podcast. But
can
just
you hear Chris crying? We're not talking about it yet.
I'll still talk about it regardless.
The other thing that excited me just as much as Obi-Wan, or not maybe just as much, was the Disney Plus just detail that they finally gave out. They showed the interface. I'm just kind of a nerd for that kind of thing. All of what Apple TV has done in the past, all these streaming services. I want to see how they're going to do things in their own way and present things in a way that hopefully is going to like change my experience in entertainment. And I always have that expectation, and it's far too high, and it never lives up to it. But they at least walked through the way things would be organized. It looks very much like other streaming services. But just when you see the Mandalorian up there and you see the entire section category dedicated to Star Wars, where you could go through all of the different iterations, and Clone Wars will be there, Rebels will be there. If you want to get caught up before the new season of Clone Wars, you can watch it all on Disney Plus beginning November 12th. It just was... It made me feel very happy to at some point be sitting down with my remote and probably spending endless hours scanning through it without an ability to decide what to watch.
Also, stay tuned for an upcoming outpost where we discuss the Lady and the Tramp trailer.
Ooh. Big fan. And Noel.
Oh, God.
I'm in. Look, I think David Letterman's in that.
They got Bill Hader. They got Anna Kendrick. And they got Billy Eichner and apparently maybe David Letterman.
Yeah, he looked like Santa Claus, but I couldn't confirm it.
They just decided they were going to take Lifetime Christmas movies and turn them into star-driven vehicles on Disney. And they can
Do you think Paul Schaefer would be playing the surrogate of like Bernard the Elf?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's going to bring that hot cocoa in.
You checked it twice. Checked it twice.
All right, let's get into the Rise of Skywalker special out of D23. Before we do, though, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, Droids Pod, and the Droids Podcast on Facebook. Email us at droidspod@gmail.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. If you're enjoying this podcast, you've been listening for a while, let us know what you think. We want to know you're out there. It makes us want to continue to do more episodes. And I mean, I guess we were going to do that anyway, but we just want to hear from you. droidspod@gmail.com, iTunes, rate and review us. The Rise of Skywalker special look. It really should be called a saga teaser. You know, it's all about the Skywalker saga and slowly builds from classic original trilogy in moments that are cut to a new version of a familiar song from within Star Wars until you then get to the Rise of Skywalker, where we see a lot of new footage that certainly caused a big stir on the internet. But when I watched this in my first time through, the chills that I got from listening to a new cut of the music in tune with the moments that it shows. I think there's a moment of a flourish right when you see Han in the cantina, and that broke my heart. Just not in a moment of like sadness, but just my heart was overwhelmed with joy in watching those two things together. And it was that beautiful to me that I almost feel like they could have just done that without even showing us any new footage, and I probably would have been like, oh, that was incredible.
Yeah, I feel like with the legacy part of this teaser, it's not even like necessarily like the chronology or just like compact storytelling. It is the emotional story arc that goes through Star Wars that you feel watching this, and I think they've nailed it. Like, they've taken you back to the past, but somehow while you're watching this, you're excited for the future.
Yeah, it's absolutely breathtaking. I mean, it's like you said, not just the new footage, which is thrilling and we're going to get into that. But, you know, I think it's around 2 minutes and 11 seconds or 2:22, but who's counting? And half of it is footage from the older movies, and it's just gorgeous. You know, it's like one of those things that it's, you know, if someone had told me, like, it'll be half old footage, I'd be like, oh, well, I want to see new footage. But seeing it all put together, it's just, yes, this was perfect. It gives it the weight that it needs. It's just beautifully edited. I happen to know that the person who edited it is a true blue genius. and it's just, it's absolutely thrilling. It was like everything that you could hope for at this point in time, from what we're how we're approaching the Rise of Skywalker.
It's kind of like when you, and this will be a nerdy reference, but it's like when you got Nintendo Power back in the day and you lined them all up, and then you started to realize...
Listen, Chris, no nerdy references, okay?
Sorry about
Not
that.
Not on this Star Wars podcast.
Wait a
second.
I just
talked about the interface of Disney+.
Are you guys talking... Are you guys saying Star Wars is nerdy? That's offensive.
anyway, I'm sorry.
Anyway, so you get the Nintendo Power magazines, and if you line them up, they make like a picture, like all the edges of them.
Sure.
If you know this. But
You made a picture.
The idea here, though, is this: like, it's almost like, all right, we've made all these Star Wars movies, and now wait until you see them all together. And like, mm-hmm. I think this is the first time that we have actually seen the whole saga kind of sandwiched together in a presentation to like.
And it says it's funny because it says like, I think the title, you know, the interstitials say the story of a generation comes to an end, but
yeah,
it's the story not just within the movies, like in the real world, it's the story of many generations.
Yeah, it's like three or four generations.
You know, so it obviously gives it the weight it deserves, but it's like, but also more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought it was really gorgeous. And then we got into the new stuff, and the internet was set aflame.
Do we want to talk about the biggest moment at the end before we talk about some of the other stuff? I think let's start there because that was honestly a jaw-dropping moment that set everybody off, which is exactly what this should do when you're trying to build up attention and get people to who are not necessarily just huge Star Wars fans. We're going to see it anyway. But you want to cause a stir. You want to be trending everywhere, which is where this teaser ended up being.
Number one on Twitter.
You have that moment with Rey. In the dark side, Rey, and mm-hmm. I'm sure we all have our own interpretations of that scene, but tell me your first thought when you saw her that way.
I think it's a vision.
I agree with you.
I think
visually it looks to me like it's a vision.
There's also something in her eyes that looks like she's staring back at herself, and maybe that's just because I see that from
there is
Star
like
Wars
another
movies.
So I've watched it a few times. There is something it looks like on the right side of the frame that's like kind of moving a little bit, so it mm-hmm. looks like she's looking at something, whether that is part of the vision or not. I mean, I think it is a moment in the movie that might it could just be a kind of a switcheroo. It might look like she's actually dark side, but it could be, I mean, she could be doing something good. I know she's holding the different lightsaber, the new dual lightsaber. Is it a future vision? Is it a past vision? Is it part of what she saw on the other side of that ice in The Last Jedi?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
we should preface this disclaimer. We don't know.
We don't know. We don't have any. But I feel like she looks very different physically in that scene.
Mm-hmm. There is something. I think that there is a CGI element in terms of. Like her face looks very harsh. It's also lighting, of course, but she looks otherworldly.
Yeah.
It's interesting. What I think is kind of brilliant about this, and we'll get into it more with the rest of the trailer too. But you know, I've talked about this about a strength of JJ is like finding the image. You know,
mm-hmm.
and this trailer is chock full of like the images. And what's interesting, you know, he's talked about. Echoing the other movie or making the movies rhyme and things like this. There's a lot packed into this one shot of Rey, you know, because it's conjuring a few things. Obviously, the obvious thing is Darth Maul, which mm-hmm. any kind of wrapping in the prequels, you know, I love that. It also conjures Luke in Return of the Jedi with mm-hmm. with the way that she's dressed. It's also Kylo Ren. And then it's
Palpatine with the hood. I mean, the hood looks very Palpatine.
And we hear Darth Vader's breathing before that. But also, if you notice, the lightsaber, the double lightsaber, is like staticky the way Kylo Ren's
like
is.
Kylo Ren's.
Yep.
So another kind of theory here that I had that it is some kind of, and we had talked about this off pod, but some kind of like clone type activation or something of another type of person. I still don't believe Kylo's in the mask. I think that
wait, we talked about this off the pod.
maybe in a text chain or something. There was our text threads were plentiful the last few days. But the idea that there could be a clone or another version of Rey, possibly.
I've heard this theory also.
Yeah, and the idea that, that is an activated evil Rey, that she's kind of come to fruition via the Emperor's power. That's a possibility that plays in my mind.
Is this what Snoke was talking about, where darkness rises and light to meet it, and it's the opposite? Darkness is rising in clone form to meet the light of Rey?
We know there's clones. We know there's force projection.
I love if there were clones.
We know that there's deception. I think that somehow the Emperor is going to trick Rey into believing what Rey is doing. She's going to think it is correct, and it's going to lead her to this point where she has to act in this way, the same way that Kylo fell for it, the same way that Vader fell for it. And I think she'll be tricked at the end, and ultimately, I mean, I have to assume she's going to turn and be good, but if they didn't, that would be a bold move.
Is it if you look at the lightsaber before she flicks it out, it's kind of it almost looks like a scissory kind of lightsaber.
Yes.
You know, it flips out like a switchblade. And has anyone, I haven't heard this online, but it is a theory that perhaps it's like an epilogue of sorts about how she cuts the ribbons at the opening of cantinas.
Oh, right. Yeah. So she's used her power and her fame to go.
Yeah.
They cut her a check, and she can go from cantina to cantina.
Yeah, she's cutting ribbons, you know what I mean?
And like, they ask her questions. She's like, no, where's the ribbon?
Do you think, so I've heard the clone thing, there's talk of possible, amongst the droid heads, that it's possible there's a possession by the Emperor going on. Chris, you brought up a long time ago this idea that the Emperor is kind of jumping from body to body.
Yes.
Oh, man, he's blown a Voldemort move? Is that what you're trying to say?
Something like that. Horcruxes, again?
Still not sure what those are. But
we've never seen an evil Force ghost, and it's possible that the Emperor might be our first evil Force
interesting.
That is true.
He's been haunting that the dilapidated Death Star.
I've got just one question, though. Have you ever heard the tale of Darth Plagueis? Also, just kind of interesting that when the lightsaber unfolded, it shows like two. And this is a nutsoid theory, but it shows like it has two lightsabers. There's duality to that, right? There's always with Sith, there's always a master and apprentice. There can only be one. And right now it shows that she's maybe number two.
There can only be one.
Oh, that's Highland. One pair of two. Yeah. They need to really fix that byline in the books. People have a lot of, it's like the Constitution, though. It's meant more as an interpretation throughout the ages.
Before we move on from the blade, though, there is an actual moment of precedent with that type of lightsaber in Star Wars canon from Rebels, when Kanan is training with the Temple Guardians. There's a shot that you can find. It's even going around the internet right now. The blade, in the way that it is unfurled, is exactly the same as the Temple Guardians. So not necessarily saying that she built it from the Temple Guardians' instruction in any way, but this is not the first time that we've seen this kind of stacked into Maul-type lightsaber in Star Wars before.
Right.
Which is a pretty incredible moment that they did that. And you know, the story group is so involved in these films that maybe they brought it up to JJ and say, hey, here's an option, and he used it. And it reminded me a little bit of, I don't know if Rian Johnson was inspired by the story group or if he found it on his own, but he had read the extended, I think, Jedi Path, which is where he found kind of the force projection as a part of the storyline he wanted to use for The Last Jedi. And I wonder if JJ and company are seeing things as well from other parts of the canon that they think can inform the overall mainline saga films.
They had released a couple books that were probably meant for young adults. I have the Sith side of that, but it shows you kind of the Sith abilities.
Chris, I have the Jedi side of that. What is
There it is.
Here I am, stuck in the middle. I also just need to say, from a technical level, what a piece of sound design when she flips out that lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, you could feel it. Ooh, that's great stuff.
From there, why don't we go back to our first shot of new footage, which was, I believe, as you said, Ryan, just about halfway through And we see what is the new planet where I believe they were shooting in Jordan. It is not supposed to be Jakku. It's not supposed to be Tatooine. And we see our heroes. It's Rey, Finn, and Poe with Chewbacca and C-3PO in the background, which clearly from this little teaser, we are going to get a pretty significant C-3PO story in the new footage we've seen.
His eyes are red. By the Emperor?
It's a little alarming.
Exactly. And he had a red arm in The Force Awakens. The red just continues.
What if you put a kyber crystal inside of C-3PO? And he just shoots Death Star lasers out of his eyes.
You know Denzel Washington movie Fallen, where the devil passes between people by touch?
Oh, you think...
Maybe that's what the Emperor's going to do. And then you he gets stuck in C-3PO.
Ryan, I think
C-3PO, jumps off a cliff.
Ryan, I think everyone's going to have their Emperor moment.
Oh, you just...
You think everyone's just going to do an Ian McDiarmid impression?
Yeah.
You solved it though, Ryan. You solved it completely. This is how Chris's prediction comes true. Because eventually they pass Palpatine and trap him in the computer of the Falcon, and then they have to destroy the Falcon to kill
him. And
then
is the one that saves everybody.
Yeah.
L3 pulls spoiler alert for The Exorcist in 3, 2, 1. Yeah. She does what the old priest does at the end where he jumps out the window. Yeah. That's what L3 does.
Yes. Well, there's that line from the trailer. I need a new priest and a young priest.
I need a young priest and an old priest.
So seeing this reveal of the gang.
Which, by the way, Chris, I don't know if anybody has noticed. At least I'm sure it's been noticed on the internet, but I didn't see it until now. Yeah. I froze the frame on that moment. And if you see right behind the rock is the back of the Falcon.
Really? Yep, I see it. That's a nice little tease. Thank you, JJ. All right, it's safe. It's good for
It may be the back. It may be the back, but like you know, separate.
You don't see the front of it. So I think this is probably classic Star Wars. They've crash landed onto a desert planet and they're having some troubles to get back.
Moving on
from there, they move into what is some sort of festival on the planet.
So
This was very striking. I thought that was cool. I've never seen something so colorful in a Star Wars movie. Literally like pastels.
I do have a theory on that, whereas I think this is a planet of like refugees, and that's where Princess Leia is going to stay, or General Leia is going to stay. I think she's going to stay and lead those people.
Interesting.
That sounds good.
I mean, none of the other footage we've seen has shown her on any desert planet yet. But that doesn't mean that couldn't happen.
But it's kind of colorful like that. There could be a room or something with that kind of stuff. I don't know.
On to the next shot.
Again, we don't know.
Next shot where we do see General Leia in a much more full foliage and lush, non-desert setting. And
some could say it almost disqualifies Chris's theory.
But in
there's
this shot,
be haters.
You know, this is a shot where that was not the costume she was wearing, and they have probably pieced together her performance with probably unaltering her facial expressions. But this is a recreation of her performance, and it looks pretty seamless.
It looks good. It looks great, and I think that kind of falls into also just from a trailer perspective, just kind of audience, just letting you getting rid of the shock factor that somebody is in a digitally manipulated way. I think that's important to keep showing that, so it doesn't take you out.
I agree with that. I think that there's something to that where it's if you're prepped for what it's going to look like.
Yep. Versus being surprised with Grand Moff Tarkin and Leia in Rogue One.
I almost feel they should have shown like a freeze frame of frozen Leia in the trailer, or like a quick second of that for Last Jedi, when Leia was in space.
Interesting
theory, my man.
Back to this trailer.
We go back and now we see what is the Resistance Starfleet jumping into hyperspace. Sorry, not Star. I meant it not in the reference to Star Trek, but in
No. I wasn't going to you. I was going this is a shot.
I have always wanted to see them landing in a classic New England fog. That's what I wanted to see out of Star Wars.
Yeah, that's it. You're going to need a bigger ship.
What are they trying to land at SFO? Delays.
Am I right?
But it's the perfect counter to the next shot. which is what appears to be not a First Order fleet, but an Imperial Star Destroyer armada. They're Imperial Star Destroyers. They are not First Order ships.
This is, well, this is interesting. This is the first I've heard this at all, at the risk of sounding like Jeff Goldblum. So what is the differentiation? I mean, obviously there's a design differentiation, but has there been like serious analysis done on this?
I don't think there has been, only been just my initial reaction to looking at, I know other places on the internet have definitely talked about this, but the towers on top of the Imperial Star Destroyers.
Oh, the radar towers.
Yeah, we haven't seen that similar look in a First Order ship as of...
Sorry, I just had a hot and fresh.
Oh, look out.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Chris, I'm licensing that from you for a second.
Do it. Yep, I'll get the royalties.
Do you think it's possible that, as I'm saying it, probably not, but I'm going to say it just in case. I'm going to point to the fence on this one. do you think it's possible that the Empire has been operating parallel to the First Order? The First Order was just a smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
For the Empire.
The smoke and mirrors is essentially exactly the same as the Empire.
Yeah. To be they'll never see us coming because it's the same exact thing.
Well, I mean, that's kind of their game. That's what the Emperor did, right?
What I mean is not even in cahoots with each other.
I mean that the
Emperor is like, they can grow out of the ashes. I am still running an empire, and when the time comes, we are going to rise up. So when they think that they've defeated this First Order, whatever the First Order wants to be doing, my empire will rise. He shows up with not a fleet but an armada. Order ships.
Yeah, it's
kind of
like
Imperial ships.
What do you think we have left? And then, or maybe the First Order is kind of like, well, there is one thing we could do, and then like they know that there's like Imperial fleet is out there. I don't know.
I almost like it better if the First Order doesn't know. If they've been like forming themselves in like remembrance of this old Imperial thing, but the Empire still exists.
That's pretty wild. Unless this is a graveyard of sorts for old Imperial ships.
And they continue
just floating?
Yeah, continue to fly and float.
I don't know.
I mean, space, you know, it's frictionless. They would just keep floating.
Yeah,
I'm gonna argue it's part of the same vision that we see at the end.
I was gonna say visually the tone matches exactly that vision. That was gonna be my next point.
Do you think that it's just like, she's having a vision, like this is a strange thing, but like you know in Batman v Superman where he has that vision of like what would happen if Darkseid wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think they're having one of those, like this apocalyptic vision of like, Rey has turned to the dark side. The Imperial army has taken over again.
I think that sounds very close to the mark to me.
Cool. You know, I can get behind that.
But the thing I actually think about is I think that this vision is, and Rebels towards the end of Rebels run had the moment where Ezra interacts with Palpatine. And obviously that was in the buildup before Palpatine had died, had been killed in Return of the Jedi. But he is accessing Palpatine through another kind of netherworld. I don't remember the way they described it, where there's almost a difference in time that Ezra could access. I think Palpatine doesn't return in physical form, doesn't return as Force Ghost. I think that Rey stumbles upon that same other dimension, and that's where she interacts with Palpatine, who at that point either infects and then passes himself along everybody, like we've been talking about, or gives her this vision that would haunt her and turn her to a different path.
Oh yeah.
In that moment. And that's what where I'm going with this at that moment.
That's wild.
Last thing I'll say, Chris, is that the reason that I like that theory is that it's really the only way to me that I can accept Palpatine being in this movie.
Oh, I see. I think that there is something to that, because it was big news for Yoda when he discovered that he could talk to the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a new thing that had happened in Jedi powers. Like they didn't know they could do that. So what if they didn't really have a chance to explore that though, right? They had to separate and they were exiled and they didn't get a strong chance to kind of rally that up. What if that in that Force world, the Emperor also figured out how to get in there, and then Rey is the key to getting into that world? And like you just said, Mike, she taps into that world where the Emperor is waiting. There could be a dark side Force world, like we mentioned previously.
And also, that would stand to reason because they could kind of explain all that. That's what she's been doing with all these visions she's been having.
Yeah.
Throughout, yeah, from Force Awakens to The Last Jedi, that's has been leading up to this.
She's going into this dark side world thinking that it's the light side world. Because Luke, there might be teachings in those books, and obviously there's a strong theme of Star Wars, like doing something before you're ready to do it.
Absolutely.
Only to learn the lesson. So it might be like, this task might be so dangerous that she's like, I'm going back in. Almost like Inception, right? Like, we're going in.
But that's such an interesting point, Chris, because in the other footage that has not been released publicly, but I believe there are a bunch of people in the panel who filmed it, The Rise of Skywalker, there's a moment where they are doing the sizzle reel for all of Disney in the upcoming next year, and you hear Rey say, it's too dangerous, I have to go alone.
Right. So perhaps she's going into some kind of Force world.
It would also be
incredible.
And
maybe this is when she and Kylo Ren, maybe that's what kind of leads to his redemption.
Yeah.
That he's the only other one powerful enough. They end up going in together. I mean, I understand we're basically writing the movie.
That's the fun of it. That's why folks are listening. Obviously, if you have your own theories, please write in.
Yes.
droidspod@gmail.com.
You got it, Chris. Awesome.
Guys, we're so close.
I didn't want to tell you guys, but I actually wrote the movie.
Your last name is Terrio?
It's Skywalker.
Oh my god. He wrote Batman v Superman.
Ah.
How about that?
All right.
We'll move on to a shot of Finn and new character Janna, Naomi Aki's character in.
I have to say, this is the first time we've seen her like on film. We've seen pictures.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What a character design. She just looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like she has some goggles that are pieced together from another helmet, which we've seen before in this sequel trilogy. They do not appear to be on the Falcon because there is a pilot behind them that has a very distinct non-Falcon-esque interior. From there, we get to C-3PO and the red eyes. We've talked about it. I'm sure he will mention to many people. I'm sure you didn't recognize me because of the red eyes.
Very interesting. Anthony Daniels doing an Ian McDiarmid impression would make me so happy.
There is something vaudevillian about C-3PO never like looking the full shape that he's supposed to like look. Like he never has all of his pieces at the right time. Like,
yeah,
that's
a good running gag.
They never grant him that. I think it's hilarious. Also, the way the trailer's cut is hilarious, that we see the two red eyes and then it cuts immediately to the next scene, which is that giant laser blast.
Yeah, do you think that Starkiller Base is back?
I think it's C-3PO shooting lasers out of his eyes.
Uncontrollable lasers out of his eyes. And he has to keep on apologizing for killing everybody.
Like, oh,
yeah, he's like Scott Summers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I love that theory. That's my new
favorite.
They had
to change Star Wars. It was too close to Dark Phoenix.
Did you know? They changed it because it was so close to the biggest movie of all time. Wild.
Then we jump into Rey in a forest again, a little reminiscent of The Force Awakens when she was lost in the forest after leaving Maz's cantina. And here she is training, taking down trees with a flying lightsaber as she's going after a training remote, similar to A New Hope. And in it, you get the sense that she's preparing for battle, but she also might be preparing with Leia, because it's the similar setting to what we saw Leia in.
Oh, there you go.
In the teaser.
I like that.
She also does the throw pullback, the Thor throw pullback.
I think also the interesting there is we talked about earlier how there was like fan service in Force Awakens with the training remote. Is that the same one? Is that
no? It looks red. It looks unless she painted it over. She's like, I got to make sure that this, looks pretty
this
evil.
This is mine now. Yeah, it's probably just so you could see it in the actual.
It's red,
frame.
So I know it's the bad guy.
Yeah, right. But I do like to see. There is always the physics questions of what if a lightsaber touches this or does this. I do like to see them making lightsabers a little more physical. That trend we got from the prequels.
Can I ask you guys?
Yeah.
Just while we're on that, just for us to put this down definitively.
Yeah.
Do you think the blade of a lightsaber is like a solid thing that like it's like a regular sword? Or do you think that like if you touched it, it would slice through you like butter?
Slice through me like butter.
Yeah, I think it's just like butter.
You think this the blade is like butter?
I think the handle and the blade are like two sticks of butter.
But I mean, what we've seen in Star Wars would kind of counter that argument, because there's been so many people who've been nicked, or even Finn getting the entire blade up his back. It didn't.
But
right
I think though that that
him.
Is
like
that
a light
is,
touch.
I mean,
yeah.
To me, that's an angle thing, because when people get nicked on the arm, it's like it literally just touches them and it slices them.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think it's like butter as well.
Oof. Can you imagine if we start to see some people killed like that? Mm. I mean, they've run through people with the lightsaber.
Yeah.
But not
if
like
we start seeing people being killed by being like spread over bread and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, actually, just eating butter though is the silent killer.
I don't know how to move on from that. I don't know how we get to the next
These
shot.
Cookies have so much Kyber in them. They have so much Kyber. Like, I know it's bad, but it's so good. I'm going to have to walk extra steps tomorrow, but like, I love Kyber.
It turns out Kyber's delicious.
I know I shouldn't. Like,
it's
so
high
bad,
in Kyber. Ray also has like a little red cloth piece that they point out for some reason, which is interesting.
I really liked it.
I don't know if that's a reference to also the Red Room, the Veil. I don't know what that means.
I'm guessing
it's a Steven Tyler reference.
Oh, because he ties up his bandanas on the bike stand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good Steven Tyler.
Thank you.
I'm guessing it's a training montage, and she was blindfolding herself. And she's got it. Yeah, exactly. We're getting a Rocky montage.
I love it.
That training
I hope she
montage.
Eats a bunch of moof eggs.
From there, we have a shot of Kylo leaving his TIE fighter, walking across what appears to be either another salt planet or snow planet, with lightning striking all around him and him brandishing his signature tri lightsaber.
I want a montage of Kylo struggling to leave his vehicle while he exalts his lightsaber. The scene has happened several times now where he like is exiting a vehicle, like struggling to walk. I love it.
Yeah, why doesn't his robe ever get caught in anything?
Yeah. He's always walking through some very like rough terrain. This guy works hard, is what I'm saying.
It's self-hatred, you know what I mean? He doesn't want anything to be easy.
He's certainly working hard in the next scene, because we see him and Rey dueling on what initially, I mean, so this is the water planet. We've seen the Death Star in the water before. Yep. I think it's pretty much confirmed. And if you look to the far left of the frame, it's clear a Death Star turret that has been decaying is at towards the left. So this is a final battle on the Death Star down in the water of this planet, which I don't mind this aspect of a Death Star being in the movie versus having another full operational.
They can't do one without a Death Star.
I know.
I'm telling you, that Death Star's full of Kyber. She's going there to get her laser, her double crystals, her double red crystals. Crystals.
You know what? You know who's there? Yeah.
Who's that?
That's where the Emperor is, because the Emperor died on that Death Star.
Exactly. That's my theory. My theory is that some kind of spirit's going to lead her there, because she needs crystals to build these lightsabers. She's going to go there. Kylo's going to stop her because Kylo collects old relics of Siths, and he knows where like the most relics are, but it might be too dangerous to go to the Death Star. Rey's like, I got to build a lightsaber. What do I do? And then some creature, somebody's like, I know where you can get Kyber for your lightsaber. Goes there.
But
gets
it depends how big your pocket is.
Exactly. She's going to go there and then find out like, oh no, I can't. This is too powerful. And then like, it's going to be a Kyber that's imbued with the Emperor. That's my theory right now.
Do you guys hear that?
Until it changes 5 seconds later.
Sorry, are you guys picking that up? It's the entire audience slow clapping. Chris, that was thrilling.
That's the hot. I've been building up hot and freshes for the last. That sounded gross, but
family,
you know what
show,
I mean.
Chris.
But that may be one of your most, probably one of your best hot and freshes that I've heard.
Definitely one of the most cohesive.
It's coherent, at least. I think that is cool. It also is like the evolution of the lava fight in Revenge of the Sith. It's kind of like, all right, well, the technical challenge was how do you get two characters fighting lava? Every kid's worst nightmare. Now, water is always technically hard to animate and make look real. So now they gave us a water battle.
My worst nightmare was that my parents would forget to pick me up from school.
And lava?
Yeah, and that because they were stuck in lava.
While this is all happening, we're getting the voiceover from Palpatine of, I believe, and your journey is at its end. And we think that it is leading towards a conversation maybe with Kylo, but that's when we then see Rey and her new lightsaber of a dark side of it. But Palpatine now being such a dominant force in the new pieces of Rise of Skywalker content we've seen, where do we all think? I mean, I've kind of said already that I think Palpatine is part of this, you know, vision that she has or infiltrates her brain momentarily. How big a role do we think Palpatine's going to have in this film?
I mean, they put him on the poster.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the poster.
I think we're going to get a scene. And I think whatever his, like, he's going to be just kind of wild, unleashed power, I think, at this point. I think he's going to be a Palpatine that's not quite contained. And so we might see a materialized scene of him. And then from there, it's not going to be like the Palpatine we all know and love. It's going to be like just a force of evil. That's my guess.
I think he's like in it. I think he's in the movie.
Okay.
You know, like I'm trying to think of like a, an analogy. You know how like Thanos is like in Endgame, but not as much as he was in Infinity War. I think it's going to be like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All
right.
He's like a presence throughout until he's like, here's another one of my theories. I think that he is operating in this ethereal realm or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I think at the end, something's going on, you know, the countdown's begun. We got to get out of here. They're going to launch the fourth Death Star. Then Ghost Luke is going to show up and he's like, Rey, I'll take care of this. We have unfinished business, me and this one.
Okay.
And then he's going to go, no, you die.
Oh,
and then they're going to fight like that Lord of the Rings thing with all the ghosts and stuff. And then it's going to be that. Mace Windu's going to be in there. The
and
dude with the bone in his head is going to be in there.
Oh, yeah.
The mushroom girl's going to be in there. It's going to be everybody.
Everyone. I like it. Batman, Superman.
It kind of sounds like a moment you reference Lord of the Rings, also like Harry Potter, where his parents say, don't worry, we got this. We'll buy you some time.
I do think it probably will be more like that. Like you'll be with me till the end, you know?
Yep.
Well, and then that's pretty much...
Over in an instant.
That's the trailer. We then get the main logo of Rise of Skywalker, Episode 9, and it closes out with December, and that's the end. I'm anxious for more. I mean, that felt like... It felt like a tease, and it felt like we still have one more full trailer ahead of us.
Oh,
I imagine
yeah.
at least one more full trailer. Certainly, there'll be bits that are shown through the next few months. But sometime maybe mid-October, November, a month before the movie comes out, we'll get a full trailer.
Big sporting event reveal, and then the tickets go on sale. And then we get the tickets, and then we go see the movie. And then we talk about it for years.
You know, it's just... I feel like as fans, we couldn't have asked for a better thing to come out.
Yeah.
It was best case scenario. It's exciting. It's got the conversation going. It showed us a bunch of new stuff. It's beautifully assembled. It's just, you know, it was just dope as hell.
This trailer got 3 million views since we've started this podcast. It got 3 million more views. So,
no.
Yes.
That's incredible.
So I think the lesson here is that Star Wars is once again making the world a better place. it's what people want. It's the story that people want. It's making my world a better place. It's making it's finally giving us stuff to talk about on this pod.
I don't know if the two of you feel the same way that I do, but if you could have gone back and told me in middle school, told me in high school that not only would Star Wars return with many, many more films, and this is before we knew the prequels were coming, say, you know, what, 1995, 96. Mm-hmm. if you could have told me where things would be now, is it not only this thing that you love that makes you feel sort of like an outsider is now not only flourishing with all this more stuff that's being made and theme parks and movies and everything, that it's embraced as popular culture. And I say it as we know that it was. If you grew up in the age of when the movies were in the theater, it was one thing. It was a phenomenon. But when there was that time between 83 and 99, and if you were born in that time and grew up in that time and discovered the movies at that point, it didn't feel like the predominant, like, main pop culture focus. No. It felt like you were kind of in your own world and a little bit on the outside. And
it was still exciting when you found out someone else liked it.
Exactly. It was. It didn't feel like if you went up and talked to a group of people and said you love Star Wars that you were going to be accepted for that. And now I feel like everyone's like, well, yeah, of course. Everybody loves Star Wars. It's Star Wars.
It's only the most popular thing in the world.
But to go back to that time and to think of it is just, it's incredible. And it makes me very, very happy and very much like, hey, hang in there, guy. Things are going to get better.
I mean, I almost would have not told my young self that. I would not have given them that information. I would have kept that information secret. It's a reward for the journey. This is all gravy. When you think about it, it's like we've got the original trilogy. Everything else is just.
Well, yeah. I have to say, real quick, I may have been a bit insensitive to other people's journey about how things get better. You know, I'm talking about getting better by having Star Wars be embraced.
Oh, yeah.
I think other people have a little bit more to say there than me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Well,
for sure.
In that vein, you know, write in and let us know if you could tell your younger self anything. What would it be?
And then let us know about that time machine so we can go to the future
and then
watch this movie.
Tell us a secret at DroidsPod on Twitter. Hashtag darkest thing I've ever done.
Oh no, Ryan. Oh no. But make sure you also hashtag UN coins for Chris. Gonna need those. Wow, guys. It's been a day.
It's been quite a weekend, quite a
day. I didn't expect
we didn't even
to
talk
have a
about
Monday
the other
quite
stuff.
Like this.
We didn't talk. We barely
I mean, there's
touched
more coming.
On so much else.
But we will, right, gang?
Yeah.
Well, we've got more pods on the way. We're gonna be talking about the Mandalorian trailer. Oh,
which,
what a trailer.
Oh my god, is so good. Yeah.
Just another beautifully executed trailer that makes me water at the mouth for more Star Wars. And we get
also
that
happen to know that the same person who cut the trailer we're talking about also cut the Mandalorian trailer and is just a true blue genius.
Yep.
Just a genius.
Well, we will talk about the Mandalorian trailer. Sam will be back for that. We'll also talk about the news for the other series, Cassian Andor and Obi-Wan series. We've talked a little bit about that. And, of course, the Clone Wars release. I think there's a host of other things. There's new information about Galaxy's Edge. We didn't even talk about the new Star Wars hotel. There's information about the hotel. It's going to cost you everything that you possibly have in your bank account to stay at this hotel, but it sounds life-changing and worth every penny or every coin.
We're in it.
We'll get to all of that. Come back. Join us for another pod. Enjoy. Bask in all of this. Hit that trailer on repeat. Keep watching it. This has been The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. What they throw?
Annie? James Bond, Batman.
Thank you, Chris.